The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Last week we gave a few notes on the Yeshiva Shimei Bereishis, on the 7 days of creation. I'd like to continue in Perek Beis Posuk Yutes. Vayitzar Hashem Elokim min Adoma. This is during the 7 days of creation, but it's not mentioned in the 7 days. It's mentioned afterwards. Vayitzar Hashem Elokim min Adoma. Kodesh Baruch Hu created from the earth, kol chayas hasodeh, the eighth kol eif hashamayim, all of the living creatures of the field and all of the birds of the heaven, vayove elah odom, and he brought them to odom, lirais mayikra lei, to see what he would call them. V'chol hashayikra lei ha odom nefesh chaya hushmai, and whatever he would call each one, that will be his name. Medrash brings on this, Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Yud Zayin, Os Hei, just let me find it here. Vacha says, "Bishos Shabbat, Hakadosh Baruch Hu livrei ses Adam." When Hakadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create man, Nimlach b'Malachi Ashoros, he went and he discussed this with his angels. Omrei Nasa Adam, he said, "Let us create man." Omrulei, they said to him, "Adam zematibay, this man that you want to create. What is he like?" Omelehem, Kodesh Baruch Hu said to the angels, "Chochmasei meruba mishalachem, his wisdom is greater than yours. Hevi lifneihem es habehema, v'sachai v'sa'ov." Then he brought before the angels the animal, and the chayo, the beast, and the ov, all of the birds. Omar lehem, zeh mashmoi, and he asked the angels, and each one, what is their names? Velohoyu yodin, and they didn't know. Heaviron lifnei adam, he brought them before man. Omar lei zeh mashmo, he said to man and each one, what is its name? Omar, the man said, zeh shor. He pointed to the bull, and he said, his name is Shor. Pointed to the donkey, and he said, Zeh Chamor, his name is the Chamor. He pointed to the horse, and he said, Sus, his name shall be the horse, the Sus. Zeh Gomal, he pointed to the camel, and he said, his name is Gomal. And he went through every creature in the universe. This was some task. This was some laboratory and some biological experience, a zoological experience, because he went through every creature of the domestic animals, of all of the chayas hasodeh, all of the wild animals, all of the birds and the fowl of the heavens, and all of the insects and the creatures. He gave each one a name. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant to the angels, that his wisdom is far greater than yours. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Matom Ashmecho, what is your name?" He said to Adam, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu hadn't given him a name yet. So he said, "Omalei ani noel likore Adam, shenivrei simina Adama, said, the proper name for me should be Adam, because I was created from the Adama, from the earth. Adam means earth. Adama. Alright? And Kodesh Baruch Hu said, very good. Vani Mashmi. Then Kodesh Baruch Hu asked Adam, and what is my name? Omalei. So Adam said to Hashem, Lechone Noer Likores Loshin Adnos. Alav Dalad Nunyun. He said, for you, your name should be Adnos. She'ato Adam Lechol B'yosecho. Because you are the Lord, you are the master over all of your creatures. This is what is meant, Rav Acha said, in Yeshayahu, Membeis, Ani Hashem Hushmi. I am God, this is my name. What does it mean, I am God, this is my name? This is my name that Adam HaRishon gave me. Hushmi Shekorali Adam HaRishon. This is the name which I was given by Adam. So we see, Adam had quite a bit of chokhmah. Rashi brings here that he says that even though he hadn't eaten from the Eitz HaDaas Tevorah, nevertheless it doesn't mean that they didn't have chokhmah. See? He says, "Be'afal pishin not nitna be'das likreis be'afal." He says he didn't have the Yetzohara yet. He didn't have the power of evil that would come from the Eitz HaDaas, which in Yetz Hashem, if we have an opportunity, we'll explain what that was all about. But nevertheless, he had chokhmah, great wisdom. And therefore, he was able to name all living creatures, give himself a name, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now these names that he gave to all living creatures, these were not names. There are names which are known as Haskoma Bialma, arbitrary. We decide that we'll call this person, we'll call him Shlema. We're not saying why we're going to call him Shlema. We decided this is a good name for him. We're going to call him Yankel. Okay? Not saying why. It's a good name for him. The same thing. There's such a name which is, this is called, it's done through Haskoma. See, through mutual agreement. It's purely a name which is arbitrary. And these were not the names that Adam gave to the animals. These were not a name also, there's also a name which is known as a Shem HaMushal. It's a name which we take for one object because of its association to another object. Or for example, a person's name, you decide to name him Yankel because his Zaydi was called Yankel. See? You decide to name him Shlema because that's how his Zaydi was called. Or you want to name him Avram after Avram Avinu. That's a Shem HaMushal. This was not a Shem HaMushal either. He didn't call the shore because there was something else that was called shore. So what were these names? These names, the Chazal tell us, were Hashem Meira Ala Etzim, identification. A name, if it's a proper name, is an identification. It identifies exactly what it is. This was the great chokhmah, the great wisdom. Adam HaRishon looked at every creature and he said, you're the shore, because the word shore identifies and describes exactly what you are. And you're the sus, because the word sus describes and identifies exactly what you are. We, in our limited wisdom, can't understand this. Sometimes we can understand a bit of it. But Adam was able to do this. Adam was an enormous creation, enormous person. The fact is, as I'll say, that even in physical height, he was as big as the world, from one end of the world to the other. He was a giant. So, this is what
This is what is meant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought him all of the animals, and he said, "Lirais ma yikra lei v'chol asher yikra leo Adam nefesh chaya hushmai," and whatever Adam will give him as a name, that will be his name forever. All the other names are secondary; they're not real names. They're not real names. Even if they're a translation of this name, they're not an exact identification of the animal. Then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked him, "What should your name be?" Again, he identified himself. He said, "My name should be Adam, because I'm Adama, I'm Earth." Now the Maral asks a question here. How come, when it came to every animal, he gave him a name which was an independent name, and when it came to his own name, he didn't give himself an independent name, he gave himself a name, the name of Earth, because I was created from the Earth. Why didn't he give himself also a unique identification? Animals also, many of them came from the earth, yet he gave them independent names. So he says that an answer, which he says from here we can understand the nature of man. If Hashem made Allah Etzim, if the name is an exact identification, so then with these words we are identifying exactly what the animals are. Now that's possible by an animal, but it's not possible by a man. You cannot identify what a man is, because a man is someone that is constantly living and growing, not just physically but spiritually. He never stops growing spiritually. So what he is today, he might not be tomorrow. What he is tomorrow, he might not be the day after. The fact is, there's a possibility he can fall also. An animal doesn't grow spiritually. So we can identify what he is. We can identify his limitations, and by that being able to give him a name which will tell us what he is. But man can be a small person, can be a little bigger, he can be great. Not only that, but all his life he grows, and he has the potential to grow without stopping, without limitations. And therefore, there is no name that can describe him. Therefore, Adam said, "You must call me Adam Ashema Hadoma, because I come from the earth. And the earth also is similar to me. Because what is a piece of earth? A piece of earth depends what you do with it. If you leave a life fallow, well, then it's like a desert. If you plant trees in it, then it becomes a forest. If you plant wheat in it, it becomes a farm. The name of the earth constantly changes in accordance to what you do with it. If you develop it into a city, it becomes a city. The earth also has no limitations. And everything it has is purely potential. And it depends what are we going to do with that potential. Therefore, Adam said that I also should be called Adam, because I came from the earth, and I am all potential. And my real name will depend on what I will do with that potential. That's why, actually, it's brought in Kehelis that the real name of a person is only known when he leaves this world, not when he comes into this world. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, This is in also right here, but this is in the pasuk just before. Vayema Hashem Elokim leiteva heyosa adam levade. Hashem said that it is not good for a person to be alone. Asalei ezer kenegdai. I will make for him a helpmate for him. And then it interrupts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought all of the animals and the creatures to Adam, that he should call them names. And then it states, Ula Adam lemotz ezer kenegdai. But after he named every living creature, he could not find an ezer kenegdai. So what does that have to do with it? He couldn't find a mate for himself. So the Medrash continues. The Medrash says, Choza be'aviron lefon of zuges. After Hashem brought every creature before him to name him, Kodesh Baruch Hu started to bring the animals as couples. So then Adam said, L'chol yesh ben zug. I see that you created for every animal a mate. V'li ein ben zug. And I'm the exception. You didn't create a mate for me. Therefore it says, Ulodim leimotz reizik inegdoi. Kodesh Baruch Hu, he could not find a mate for himself. So he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu this. I also want a mate. So therefore, the next pasuk states, Vayapel Hashem Elokim tadei malala odam vayishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a tardema, a coma on man, and he fell asleep. And he took one of his sides. Say, look, can either mean a side or a rib. And then he closed up the flesh underneath. And he built up the tzela, the rib, the side, which he took from man, and he fashioned from that a woman. And he brought her to man. And man said, Zos hapam, this time, etzem me'atzomai, because he was looking at all of the creatures of the world. He said, this time, etzem me'atzomai, she is a bone from my bones. Bosa bibisori, she is flesh from my flesh. The Zos, you call a isho. So this I will call Isha, ki me ish lukochazeis, because she came from Ish. She was brought out from man, therefore she should be called Isha. Alkein yazeb Isha zovi v'imai, therefore man should leave his father and mother, v'dovak b'ishtoi, and he should cleave to his wife, v'hoyu levosar echod, where they will be one flesh. Now, firstly, from here we see the greatness of a woman. Why? Because in the whole creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu used the word Tov. This we spoke about last week. And everything he said, Vayara Hashem Ki Tov, he saw was good. Even on Monday, and for the various reasons that we spoke about last week, he did not say Kitov. He made up for it on Tuesday. Tuesday he said Kitov twice. And not only that, but after six times he said Kitov, then again he said Kitov. He was always saying on what he created that day. Then it says, Vayar Hashem Elokim Eskol Asher Osa. Kodesh Baruch Hu saw everything that he made, Yinei Tov Me'od, and it was very good. So here he used the word to describe the creation, Tov. And then, generally after each time when he said that Ki Tov, so it states, Vayir Vayvoker, Yom Echad, Yom Sheni, and so forth, Yom Shlishi. It was night and it was day, first day, and so on. The Maral says, why immediately afterwards does it say it was night and day? Because had it not been Tov, Kodesh Baruch Hu would not have carried out. He only put his seal on the Bria and said, now There can be evening and day of the first day. There can be evening and day of the second day, of the third day, of the whole creation, only because the Neki Tov, it was good. So we see that the essence of the creation, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, and which put his seal on it, that it should sustain itself, it should be something which is sustainable, was the essence of Tov. Alright. Now he comes along and he says, Leiteve Yesu Odom Levade. Odom is not Tov. Even though on the whole creation he said Tov, and Odom comes along and says he's not Tov. Lo Tov he Yesu Odom Levade. It's not good. Odom is not good because he's alone. So we say, see that even though in this whole creation there was nothing lacking, there was something lacking in Adam. Now, how is that rectified? Asale Ezek Negde. I will make for him a mate. So we see that the greatest creation of all lacked this perfection of Tov. This became affixed by the creation of a mate of a woman. So we see that she is the one that ultimately brought Tov to man, and this would bring the Tov to the entire world because it was lacking this. So here we see the greatness of a woman. Now the Gemara says this. The Gemara in Yevamos brings kol hashori belei isha, shori belei teva. Whoever lives without a wife is living without tov, without goodness. It brings this posuk because it says lo tov yesh alon levado. When man is alone, he lacks the tov. But from here we see a greater emphasis. It's not just he lacks tov. He lacks the elements, the ingredients which HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world in order that the world should be a world that he wanted. And he was misaking this, he affixed this through the creation of Isha. This is what Shlomo HaMelech wrote, Motzo Isha, Motzo Tov. That if you find a wife, a good wife, then you have found Tov. Alright, now the it states, how did he create woman? So it says here, so the Torah tells us, put man to sleep, and he took one of his ribs, and by even Hashem Elokim Asat Selah, and he built up the rib, he built up her side, the side, and from there he fashioned the woman. Actually, the Medrash tells us a few things on this. It says that before he brought her, by even, before he, firstly, by even comes from the word bino, bino to one, understanding, bino yisera nitnala. He gave her understanding which is greater than man's understanding. This is the intuition that he gave woman. Then the Medrash also says, Vayiven also comes from the word that he made her beautiful and fixed up her hair and made her attractive. Before he brought her to Adam, he fixed her up very, very beautifully. Then, incidentally, she was the most beautiful woman of creation, the Gemara tells us. The Gemara says that there were three or four outstanding women of creation and beauty. It brings Sora, and it brings, some say, Esther, Vashti, Abigail. The Gemara goes through it. But the Gemara doesn't mention Chava. Tosfos asks, why did they leave out Chava? There's another
Gemara that says that all of the other women compared to Chava was kekef etzel odom, was like the comparison of a monkey next to a man. There was no comparison. Sataisra says no. He says they didn't bring in Chava because Chava is no, that's no contest. Chava was made by Kodesh Baruch Hu himself. We're talking about those people that were born through normal processes. So she was the most beautiful woman of creation. Then it states that he made her from his side. Now this you can ask a question on. And Rashi brings the question. It's from our Chazal. Because if you look before in Pasuk Chof Zayin, Aleph Chof Zayin, it states Vayivra Lakim Aso Odom Bitsalmai, Kodesh Baruch Hu created man in his image, Bitzelem Lakim Bora Esai, in his image he created him, Zohar Unakeba Bora Esom, he created them male and female. So before we see that when he created them male and female. So why over here do we say that woman was not created yet, and he had to go and put Adam to sleep and take his rib or his side and from here fashion a woman? She was already created. This is a kasha question the sages ask. Mar brings this in Ksubis and in Erevin, and Rashi brings some of it here. So according to one opinion, male and female were created before, but they were created as one body. They were a double personality in one entity. That's what it means. Ochan akeva bottom isom. Later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided them, and that's what. That's by us. And he put Adam to sleep, and he took half of him away, and from there he separated woman from man. Now this, the Vilna Gaon asked a very good question. He asked this in his Sefer Deris Eliyahu. He says, we can ask a question. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want man and woman to be always together? And therefore he created them together. So then why did he cut them in half? Why did he separate them? Elamai, so what must we say? That he wanted them to be two separate entities. So then why didn't he create them like that to begin with? Why did he create them as one entity and then cut them in half and make them two entities? You want them one entity, so you leave them one entity. You want two entities, so you create like this to begin with. He says no. He says the divine plan was as follows. Kodesh Baruch Hu said it was necessary for them to be two entities. Why? Because it's an Ezelay. They help each other. Ein chovush materes atzmai. Person can't help himself. Bara has an expression, Ein chovush materes atzmai, that someone who's a prisoner cannot free himself. You need help, you need it externally. This is like Shlema Melech said in Keheles, Teva Shnai Mino Echot. Two are better than one. There are many things that two can do that one can't do. And it's not just because they're two. There are many things, not that two can do double, that one can do. There are many things that one cannot do at all, and two can do far more than that one. So therefore, they had to be separate entities in order to fulfill that. All right, so then create them as separate entities. At the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to be, to have the perfection of a oneness. Bara always says, it refers to a relative as a korov. That's a blood relative, that's someone that's a relative through birth. But a wife is not a relative through birth. She's not a blood relative. It always refers to a wife as ishtei kigufay, that she is part and parcel. Both of them are part and parcel of each other. Now this is a oneness that we do not find
by any other relationships, and it has many halachic ramifications. See, I mean, even though that a person is very, very close to his father, and a father is very, very close to his son, and brothers and sisters and so forth and so on, bonim and bnei bonim hareke bonim, good. See, that's all when it comes to relatives, to blood relatives. But a wife is not considered a relative in the, as far as the Gemara is concerned. A wife is considered the same as the husband. Ish teki gufay. And the Gemara brings halachic ramifications on it. So the oneness that's found by a husband and wife is unique to the point where it's not found any other place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that they should come to this oneness, and how can two separate people come to such a oneness? Therefore he had to create them together as one. But he couldn't leave them as one, because they could not fulfill then the task of Tov Hashnai Min HaEchod, that two are better than one, Ezek and Egdai. Therefore he had to divide them. But he couldn't create them as two, because even after they were divided, he wants them to be still, if not physically attached, but still spiritually attached. So this is what the Gong says. From this we can understand a bit, not entirely, but we can understand a bit into what is known as the Sod HaZivug, into what the relationship of man and wife, of marriage, is. Again, not entirely, but for example, the Torah tells us right here, Adam came along and he says, "Zos hapam etzem me'atzomai u'bosa mi'psori." This is what he's saying. He says, "This time you gave me, before I looked all over the world and I couldn't find a mate, because what did it have to do with me? But this time you gave me a proper mate, because Zos hapam etzem me'atzomai u'bosa mi'psori. It's my own bones, it's my own flesh. See, we were together, we were one. He even gave her such an identification. Gave her the identification is because you have come from me, so therefore we're one. And then the Torah tells us, therefore a man should leave his father and mother and he should cleave to his wife. The Rashi says, this posuk comes, that this posuk is speaking to the Bnei Nayach. It's not speaking to Klal Yisrael, it's speaking to everybody in the world, that Isarais, where they are not allowed to marry blood relatives. Now, the close blood relatives that a Bnei Nayach, a non-Jew, is not allowed to marry, is far more limited than the blood relatives that Yisrael is not allowed to marry. But at any rate, we see a principle that a blood relative is not qualified for marriage to a degree. Akorav korav kodim. See, the closer the blood relative, then the more disqualified they are for marriage. As they become less close, then you can marry them. By Bnei Nayach, they're not so stringent, and by Israel, more stringent. But after a certain degree, relatives you can marry. And after HaKadosh Baruch Hu found a mate for Adam, so he told them, all right, now you cannot take any relatives. Now, the Maral brings in a place. He says, really? He says, Mitzar HaSeichel, if we would go with logic. He says, it from one as perspective, it would be far more logical to take a wife who's a close relative than who's a stranger. Who should you take for a wife? It's much, would be much more proper, we would think, to take a wife who is from your own family, a relative of yours, than go to a strange family and take a wife. He says, this is what the seichel is mechayev. This is what logic would demand. And he says, actually we see this in the Gemara, because the Gemara says it's a mitzvah to marry Basa Chesed. You're allowed to marry a niece. Uncle's allowed to marry a niece. A nephew's not allowed to marry an aunt. But an uncle's allowed to marry a niece. And the Gemara says it's a mitzvah. Not only allowed, it's a mitzvah to take a niece. And the Gemara uses the expression Basa Chesed, a niece which is your sister's daughter. So that's the question. I mean, if you're talking about a niece, what's the difference if it's your sister's daughter or your brother's daughter? A niece is a niece. So Rashi says, because a person is closer to his sister's daughter than to his brother's daughter. This is the nature. Because by nature, a person is usually closer to his sister than his brother. So he'll be more close to his sister's children than his brother's children. And the reason why the Gemara says it's a mitzvah, because mipsorim al tisalim, you should take care of your family. So you see that type of mentality, that it would be more proper to marry someone that's closer to you than further away from you. The Maral says this is why the Gemara tells us that God asks the question whenever there's a chasana. Many, many times, very, very common, that till they come to the chuppah, there are plenty of problems, of quarrels, of machlekes between the families and so forth, till they come to the chuppah. That's why the Gemara says, Leka ksuba de lespo tigra. And one asks why. On the other hand, the Gemara says, a bris milah, very seldom do we see there's a machlekes. What's there to argue about? So Gemara says the reason is because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's actually in this coming Siddur now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Abraham to make a bris milah, he did it with great simcha. This is where he did the bris milah in Yitzchok. Where do we see he did it with great simcha? Who knows? He made a mishta godlo, it says. By Igomel, there they learned it was the bris milah. He made a big party. And he invited the Gdeil Ador. He invited the great personalities of the generation, kings, Shem and others. Now, where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him to make a party? He didn't tell him to make a party. He told him to make a bris milah. What is bringing in parties for? Where does it state that you have to make a party? This is why we make a party, because Abraham did it. So what do we see? Abraham was so enthralled with that mitzvah, he decided to make a celebration with it. So the Gemara says, "Kol mitzvah shekiblo aleim b'simcha edayna esin b'simcha." Since when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvah, it was done b'simcha. So it's ingrained in the generations that it will always be b'simcha. Therefore, a bris milah, you don't find too many quarrels and arguments over. There might be a little who should be the tzaddik, who should be this, but it's minimal. All right. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and told Klal Yisrael the laws of zivugim, the laws of marriage, it says, "Vayivku lemishpachaseihem." They made a whole row and they wept and whatnot. What do you mean we can't marry this one, we can't marry that one? Before we received the Torah, we were allowed to marry this one and that one and so forth. Now you're telling us we can't. And the Manal says the reason why they wept so much is because it was opposite to what the seichel, to what the mentality tells us. It would be better for a person to take a close relative than a stranger. And now all of a sudden you're telling us we have to marry strangers, people that are not close relations. Because they put up a row, It says, "Kol mitzvah shel lekibla aleim b'simcha." Any mitzvah that when they accepted, they didn't do it b'simcha, but they did it with machlekes. They die nice. They still do it like that. That's why it's so common to find b'achasna. There's plenty problems till they come to the chuppah. We always pray that these problems end at the chuppah. Now, so that's why it states now. But the point we're bringing out here is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees that when it comes to marriage, it's far better to marry someone that was close to you before than that was far away from you. No doubt about it. He agrees to that. But not close to you because of birth, but close to you because she was taken from you to begin with. And that's what Adam said. You see, Adam said, when he brought her Chava, he says, "Zeisapam etzem me'atzomai." Now this is the best zivug. This is the best wife for me, because she came from me. Vosem mi besori. She's my own bone and my own flesh, and therefore I will call her Isha ki mi ish lukocha zos. And her identification will be, she is part of me. We are both from the same. It's like the saying in English, cut from the same cloth. So, Kodesh Baruch Hu agrees to that. But for some reason, that's why I said this is, we can understand some of it. For some reason, what he decreed, that the zivugim, that the unions, the marriage, should be with someone who came from you, but not someone who was born with you. So therefore, if the closeness comes, because this is what the Gemara refers to as avaso, if the closeness comes because of ancestry, descendants, now, there he decreed that cannot make a zivug. But this, that the isha comes from you yourself, the ishte kegufai, that's different. See, that's what makes the zivug. Again, this enormous depth in the subject. So this is just scratching the surface of it. But because this is not said on every woman, even a woman that would be born in your family, she also comes from Chava. And she also was taken from man. But this gives us somewhat of an explanation into this. So this is the Seder, this is the order of the Psukim. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu came along and he made a companion for Adam from he himself. And he called her Isha because she came from he himself. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and now you have to forsake all your relatives when it comes to zivugim. Alright, we'll go to another point now. In the next perek, this is perek gimel, it says, "V'hanocha shoyo oru mikol chayas hasoda." The serpent was Orum. Orum here means Hakima. He was wiser than all of the animals of the field. Asherosa Hashem Elokim, which Hashem made. And then he started this whole plot. He came by Yemel Isha Afki Omer Elokim Leisechel Mikol Eitz Agon. He came to the woman and he said, "Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell you that you cannot eat from all of the trees of the garden?" And he knew exactly what Hashem told her. So the Isha said, "Vatemer Isha we can eat from all of the trees of the garden, but from the one tree we cannot eat, and that's the Eitz Hadas Tovra, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And if we do, if we touch it or if we eat it, we will die. And then the serpent started his whole plot. He started to entice the Isha to eat from the tree until finally she ate, and then we have the whole business that takes place. The Medrash brings that what does it mean he was Orum? He was wiser than all of the other Chayes HaSode. So the Medrash brings this was his downfall. In Kehelis it states, Kehelis Aleph ki berev chochma, ki berev chochma rev kas. Yesiv das, yesiv machiv. The more wisdom, the more anger. Now here's referring to the more wisdom, the more you can anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more das, the more dea you have, yesiv machiv, the more pain you can cause. Al yidei shodu marbel of chochma hu marbel of kas. Al yidei shu meisiv das hu meisiv of machiv. The more wisdom a person has, the more problems he can cause. Tana b'shem Rameya. Rameya says, "Lefi gdulosei shel nochash hayam apolosei." The serpent ended up on the short end of this. He got the greatest mapola from the mole. His legs were cut off, and he had to crawl on his belly. And there's no animal that does that. He ended up eating offer. He eats from the dust of the earth. He ended up where there will be an eternal war between he and the seed of woman. Like the Torah tells us. It says, Avgechein cho selech v'och v'teich al kol yimei chayecho. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat the dust of the earth the whole days of your life. Oru atol mikol abehima umikol chayas hasode. You will be cursed, not only from man, you will be cursed from all animals and all chayas hasode. Everyone hates the serpent. All animals, all beasts, everyone. You'll always find, you go to a game park, you go to a water hole, you'll find many, many different types of animals drinking from the water. But you'll never find a serpent amongst them. See, nobody associates, hangs around with the serpent. Then the Eva Oshis Beincho Uveino Isha. I will make hatred between you and between women. Bein Zaracho Bein Zaro. Between your seed and her seed. Hu Yeshuv Choresh. He, the seed of woman, will try always to crush your head. Vatotishufeno Okev. And you will always try to bite the seal. So he ended up the worst of all. Now, this is what he's saying, Lefi dulosi shonocha shoyim apolosa. This was all because of the greatness that he had to begin with. Oromikol, oromikol. You were the wisest of all animals, and now you are the cursed of all animals. So the Rabbeisha says, the Rabbi says, he was Eimet Kekono. The serpent used to stand straight. V'raglayim hoyulai. And he had feet. He had legs. And he had wisdom. Tova gedola chosar ha'olam. The fact that we don't have this serpent anymore, we're lacking one, we're lacking a great deal. Shil molikeno haya odem mishaleach pakamatche biyode vahilech uva. Because if we still had the serpent of old, he would be our best servant. And it says you could give him merchandise, and he'd go out and sell it and bring you back the money. Another Chazal was said that you could send him to look for jewels in the sea, and he would find it and bring it back to you. Right? This is who he was. Now, we'll see a little more about that in a minute. But because he had such wisdom, the wisdom was his downfall. Had he not had this wisdom, he would have not had the downfall. Because he had the wisdom, he had such a downfall. Why? What was he after? What did he want? So there's various chazals on this. But one chazal tells us is that he wanted to kill Odom and to take Chava and to marry Chava. He saw the beauty of Chava. So he wanted to kill Odom and marry Chava. So this was his plot. I don't quite understand this though, because he enticed her to eat also. If he thought that the fruit would kill Odom, so it's going to kill her also, because he enticed her to eat also. So this is a question. But at any rate, this was his plot. Now firstly, where does he come to Chava? I mean, just like Odom was the most perfect man of all being, and he was created, and he created as a giant and whatnot. So was Chava. Where does he come to that? A snake? So it says, "Ein umen miskane, ala umen kemeisei." A person always envies someone or something in his own level. For example, if you have a very, very poor man, a blacksmith, a very poor man, well, he'll envy a good lunch in a fast food place. You have a king or a queen, where's their envy? Their envy will be in crown jewels, in owning beautiful, beautiful palaces. Ein umen miskane, ala umen kemeisei. So it was because of his greatness and his wisdom, he had his eye on Chava. Secondly, he had the azus, he had the arrogance to stand up against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because he was what is known as the Meisis HaMadiach. He came to entice Odom and Chava away from the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So he came to do battle with Hashem. Where does someone get the arrogance to do battle with Hashem? See, Nebuchadnezzar wanted, you see. Titus Arosho. But an animal of the field. This was because of his great chokhmah and his great stature. And not only that, but he had the arrogance in the chutzpah to tell Odom and to tell Chava. He says, "Lemos to Musa. What a Kodesh Baruch Hu told you is a lie. Ki yodele, ki yodele kim b'yeim acholchem imenu v'nivchoch ha'inechem v'yisem kelim yodea tevoro." He says, that's a lot of bunk that he told you. A Kodesh Baruch Hu ate from the tree and he created the world. And he knows that if you will eat from the tree, you will be a god like him. That's why he told you not to eat. Now, where does someone get the chutzpah to come and to speak against HaKadosh Baruch Hu like that? And right after the creation? So that's what the Medrash tells us. Lefi gdulosei kein mapolosei. What brought him to his total downfall was the great wisdom that he had. If he would have been a camel, if he would have been a donkey, if he would have been a horse, they never would have anger felt. No such things would have entered their minds. To start trying to take Chava, to start fighting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he was different. That's why it starts the whole parsha here by saying, "Va'anochosh hoyo orum mikol chayes hasoda," that the serpent was wiser than any other of the animals. And this we find, the Medrash brings, the Chazal bring, it was the same thing. By Shlema HaMelech HaChochem Mikol Odom. Shlema HaMelech was given wisdom more than any person. And that itself tripped him up. Because the Gemara brings, he said, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the king, he says, Lo yarbeloch, lo yarbeloch, lo yarbeloch noshim, lo yarbeloch susim, kesev zov lo yarbeloch. A king is not allowed to have too many wives. A king is not allowed to have too much gold and silver. A king is not allowed to have too many horses. Lest yosir levovay. Otherwise, they will turn his heart away from Hashem. And if the king's heart is turned away from Hashem, then he will lead the whole nation away from Hashem. What did Shlomo HaMelech said? Shlomo HaMelech said, "Ani arbe v'lei osur es libi." He decreed in his wisdom that I can deal with it, I can handle it. I will take many wives, and they will not turn my heart away. Now, most ones have tried that. But Shlomo HaMelech, that had such wisdom, he decided to do it. And he took wives and they turned them away. They started to build a Avodah Zarah, idolatry all over. So we see the same thing with Shlomo HaMelech. That's why he wrote, he says, Rav Chochma Rav Kas, Yosef Das, Yosef Machayv. Das and Chochma, there's nothing better. But they can be dangerous. And therefore you have to be careful. The more das and the more chokhmah, the more careful you have to be. Now the Gemara brings in Seita that test Seif Omer Aleph. Gemara says, whoever has his eye on something which is not his, what he wants to take that's not his, we do not give him, and what he already has, we take away from him. Mor is telling us, never put your eye on something which is not yours. Because if you do, not only you ultimately not get it, but you lose even what you have. And so do we find with the ancient serpent. He put his eye on that was not for him. This was Chava. Not only what he wanted, he didn't get. But Masha Biyodi not Lumi Menu. But what he already had was taken away from him. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Ani Amati Melech Al Kol Behemah V'Chayah. Why was the Nochesh like this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a king over the animals. And that was the shor, the bull. And then he made a king over the Chayos, king over the wildlife, and that was the lion. And then he made a king over the birds, the fowl, and that was the eagle. And then he made a king over all of the wildlife, and that was the Nochesh, the serpent. And then man was the king of the whole Olam HaTachton, the whole lower world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the king over all, the whole higher world. Now, the serpent, he gave such powers to, that he let him walk upright. No one else walked upright except Adam. Everyone else walked on all fours. If you walk on all fours, it's a sign you're a servant, you're bowing over. You walk upright, this is a sign you're a king. So the Nochesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I said that you will be king over all of the animals. Now, cursed, Oruhu, be called Behem HaKol Chayis HaSodah. Now you will be cursed from all of the animals. Ani Amati Yahalech Bekuma Skufa. I said
that you will walk upright. Now you will be lower than all of the animals. You will crawl on your belly. I said, this is a chidush here. I said you will eat the same that man eats. This is a chidush. Because no animals eat the same that man eats. They all have their own foods. But it's not man's foods. But here it says that this is the height that he gave to the serpent, that you will eat the same food that man will eat. Achshav ofer yochel. Now yochel. Now you will eat less, more something which is more, something which is of lesser quality than even what all of the animals will eat. You will eat the dust of the earth. Hu amar ereges Odom versus Chava. He said that I will kill Odom by getting him to eat the fruit, and I will marry Chava. What will I do? See, not only what you wanted you don't get, but we even take it away from you. Akshav eva oshis bein noch bein chol bein oisho bein zarech bein zara. Now I will put hatred. This means like this, that before they were good friends. The serpent and Chava were good friends, and that could have remained. Fact is, the serpent could have been a loyal servant to Chava, and she would have had pet snakes around, see? And there would have been a very good association. Now that you wanted what that was not yours, so then not only you will not get that, but even what you had I will take away from you. You will be hated by women. See? Eva oshis. Beinocho veino isho vein zarecho vein zaro. So this is what the Gemara tells us. So therefore, that's why it states, Orum, kvi gedulosa ikein mapolosa. We'll conclude here with a Gemara which we mentioned in the past, but it might have been a long time since we mentioned it here in the yeshiva. There's a Gemara, a strange Gemara in Baba Kama, which many of the Rishonim had difficulty understanding the Pshat. And that's in the Gemara at the end of the first Perek, Baba Kama Daf Tes Zayin, Seif Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Shidri Shel Odom, the spine of a person, Lache Sheva Shonim, 7 years after he dies, Naset Nochash, he turns into a serpent. That means if a man dies, they bury him, 7 years later, his spine turns into a serpent. But this is not by everyone. This is only by someone that didn't bow in the Shemayin Esrei. Maidim Anachnu Loch. When you say the Shemayin Esrei, you didn't bow to Hashem. Maidim Anachnu Loch. This is what happens. Now, Tesfus is on Omid Beis. He says, it's a mitzvah to bow. You didn't do the mitzvah, therefore you turn into a serpent. Especially the Gemara says you should bow like a, the spinal cord should bow like a serpent or so forth. But then, then the Gilyan Tesis comes and gives a little more clarification. He says, Yesh Mefoshim Mishum Damrinan. He says, some explain this Gemara that the Medrash says, Yesh Etzim Bishidu Shalodim. There's a certain bone which is in the spine of the person, shemimanu neitzer la'osi lovei, that when it comes to kiyas ha'meisim, the whole body will disintegrate in the grave, but this bone will never. Eisa etzem chosok v'kosher kol kach shein eish yochel l'sorfei. Even fire cannot consume this bone. And this bone will also always remain, and when it comes to kiyas ha'meisim, the reliving of the dead man will be formed again from this bone. But now when this bone, if it becomes a serpent, so then this person will not stand up in Tchiyas HaMeisim, because he doesn't have that bone anymore, he has a serpent. But then he asks the question on this. He says, why is there such a great punishment where he will lose his world to come just because he didn't bow at Modim? So it's a very, very difficult Gemara. The Maral explains it as follows. He says that man was given a shidre, a spine, but his spine is different than all other creatures. All other creatures, their spine will not support their body standing upright. So that's why they walk on all fours. And that's the sign that they are servants. Man was made the Tzelem Elokim, in the image of Hashem. And Hashem is a king, and a king has to walk tall and upright. That's why man was given a spine that will support his body upright. It's interesting that if you'll ever see a kof, monkey, a gorilla, an ape, they try to walk upright and then they fall. And the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon says that the highest level of animal till it comes to the creation of man was the kof, was the monkey, the ape. The fact is his name is kof. Kof in Hebrew, hakof means to copy, emulate. Even in English it's got that name, copy. So therefore, because of his level, he tries to be like a man. So he's always trying to stand upright, but he falls. Take a cow doesn't try to stand upright. Now, this is the greatness of man. The serpent also, like we said, who was made to be a king, was given this spine. Well, he could stand upright. Now, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do to him? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, because you did what you did, Al Gecheinchei Teilech, I'm going to cut your feet off, and you will crawl on your belly, and you won't be able to stand upright. His spine is totally useless. Can't stand up whatsoever. In other words, no longer you will be a king. You'll be the lowest of all servants. Why was that? Because when I gave you a spine to stand upright and to be like a king, that was to be a king, but to bring my kingship into the world, my malchus into the world. And that's why I gave man a spine to stand upright, where he can be a king over others, but at the same time to bring my kingship into the world. How does man bring my kingship into the world? He bows to me. The spine that was given to man is both a spine that will support him standing upright and allow him to bow. So the problem, the trouble comes, is if man thinks that he's the king and he bows to no one, well, then that's trouble. So that's what the snake wanted. The snake wanted to be the king. He wanted to push HaKadosh Baruch Hu over, rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he did this because he was Orom Mikol HaChayos, because of his greatness, the Figdulasei. And his greatness was is that he could stand upright like a man. Because you didn't bow to me, but you used your spine to rebel against me. It's like a king who has subjects which are very, very lowly people that can't do anything, or he has great subjects but they're capable of rebelling and throwing them out. So because you did that, then I will take your spine away totally and you will crawl on your belly. Now, if a man goes through this world but he's lokora b'modim, he doesn't bow at modim. Now, doesn't bow at modim is not the limited understanding that when he's saying Shemayin Esrei, he doesn't bow. It refers, he doesn't bow to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meirim anachnu loch. He does not pay tribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu
for his entire life here. But he says, I have done it. I am the king. You see? If he doesn't bow, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you can't have such a shidra, you can't have such a spine. So therefore, 7 years after he dies, that spine becomes the serpent who suffered the same punishment. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want him in the next world. But if he's in this world as a king, but he uses that to bring the kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, and he bows to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of the time, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you I want in the next world. And in the next world you'll be a king also like me. It's interesting, because when a person dies, that's the ultimate bowing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because I'll say, Bili Tichra Kol Berech, every knee will bend to me, Zeyem Amiso. That's when people die. People that refuse to bow to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they want to be the king, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows them there'll be a time when they fall also. But if you have bowed to Hashem, so even when you die, you will get up again. And that's that bone that will reproduce itself and you will stand straight. But if you didn't bow to Hashem, then that bone becomes a serpent who lost his shidra, who lost his spine, and he will not get up, and the person will not get up. That's what the Gemara means, that he did not bow. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, maybe if we have the opportunity, we will continue next week.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.